Hey, good day, everybody. Thank you for joining us. It's time for the GFBS interview right here on Grand Forks Best Source. Today, we are about to be joined by MMA fighters Ben Wicks, Dre Murray, and their coach, Vic Ramirez. They will all be fighting on the Throne MMA card at this upcoming May 18th at the Alaire Center, where tickets are on sale now by going to alairecenter.com/MMA or just go right to the Alaire Center box office in Grand Forks. But before we get to them, today's show is brought to you by Executive Properties.
Are you still putting off that project around the house that's been bugging you forever? Do you think you can wait until spring and call a contractor and have the work done ASAP? Well, good luck with that. Executive Properties has openings right now to get that project done. In fact, you can check out their Google reviews. Diane says Executive Properties did a roof project and remodeled a bathroom in our house. We were happy with their quality of work, and the projects were completed in a timely manner. We will use Executive Properties for our next home project. Get that project done sooner than later. Call Executive Properties, 701-330-1273.
All right, we are back. Welcome, Dre, Victor, Ben. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good, sir.
Fantastic.
Pretty good.
Heck yeah. Gosh, well, I'm so looking forward to talking about just the upcoming Throne MMA card, guys, with you guys. And it's a heck of a show coming up May 18th at the Alaire Center. But in the spirit, I'm filling in for John Roberts on vacation this week. And he always likes to start off the interviews with a little segment he calls Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. And we always try and keep it topic related. So I found an MMA joke. So you're... And usually the jokes I find aren't the greatest, but I'll let you be the judge. I guess to preface it, are you guys all probably remember the classic cartoon King of the Hill?
Yep.
All right. Okay. Perfect. Here we go. Why did Hank Hill like the UFC?
Why?
Because he was pro pain. All right. I'll take it.
Damn it, buddy.
John, get back over here. No, I'm just kidding.
Gosh, yes. Oh, gosh. So many. I think I heard they're trying to bring that show back, too. So, gosh, that was a regular institution for my childhood. But, yeah, so.
What is it?
That's my purse.
Oh, gosh.
I love that show.
Oh, man. Yeah, it had a heck of a run, like, I think 11 years or so. Gosh. But, you know, before we start getting into the MMA, let's get to know all of you a little bit first. Just kind of, we'll just go around the table. Vic, you know, coach, how about you? Are you from the Grand Forks area?
Basically. I've been here for 12 years now, originally from California. But this is home. This is where I'm going to stay. Maybe when I hit 50 and the bones can't take it, probably dip out to like Arizona or something warm.
When get to the later years, is just been loving the Red River Valley so far?
Yep, it's peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
It's good on gas.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I can pretty much get anywhere in town in like, what, 10 minutes or so? Mm-hmm. Heck yeah.
That's running.
Oh, Dre Murray, how are you doing today?
Gucci bandana, my
friend. Yeah, we were talking a little bit earlier. We had you on the Fork Sports Highway show a few months ago. That was so cool. I know you had a fight coming up a few months back. But in case people missed that, let's get to know you a little bit. Are from Grand Forks area?
I am not. I'm from Chicago. Military is what brought me out this way. But I've been in Grand Forks for probably 15 years or more. North Dakota, I've been in for like 20 years. So this is definitely home. Kids are around here, so don't see myself leaving anytime soon. I'm okay with the cold so far. So,
yeah, you know, maybe the first season might have been a little bit of an eye opener, but then you know, just like any climate, you get used to it, right?
Yeah, my first time here, I was wearing a windbreaker. Do you guys remember those?
Oh yeah,
it snapped, and I almost cried. Like, where the hell did they just send me? It's like my coat just snapped on me because it's so cold.
Oh gosh.
Yeah,
oh
yeah.
Man.
Never seen it before. But oh. I've got used to it since. So.
Gosh. Yeah, well, it's not even uncommon. I think a lot of college students I see sometimes at the stores in, you know, when we're in our sub-zero days, they don't care how cold it is. I just need to go to just get out of the car to get in the store. I'll just go in there in a hoodie and shorts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
that's kind of where I'm at now. I always wear shorts no matter what degree it is, but the hoodie's a mandatory.
Hoodie's a must. Yes. Oh, I love it. Ben Wicks, how are you doing today?
Pretty good.
So from the Grand Forks area?
I am originally from the Grand Forks area, Crookston, East Grand Forks, Minnesota.
Oh, Crookston, all right. I like to refer to Crookston sometimes, home of the world's only five-way stop sign.
Absolutely.
I usually bump into someone from Crookston once every year or two. I'm like, is the five-way stop sign still there?
Right on Broadway there. I actually don't live there, but I do work in Crookston. It's crazy how this works, this coincidence. But that five-way stop sign is still there. I believe it's on Broadway where all those houses are in that corner there.
I can only imagine. I used to have some friends that lived there. I used to traverse there pretty regularly for a couple of years. And every time I would dread coming to that stop sign, it was along the way to their place. And I'm like, what if like four vehicles, all different directions come here, all within a sign would just be just all bug-eyed. But, oh. So, how about, kind of curious, you know, what was the, you know, MMA coming up here in just under or just over a month away. What was the bug that got you into MMA as far as like maybe from was it just being a fan or did you just jump right into the training at first or just watching it in general? Vic, we'll just start with you.
Vitor Belfort versus Wanderlei Silva. I saw that and I was hooked. You know, the guy looked how I wanted to look. His name was close enough to mine where I was like, I'm going to try to be like that guy. And just never look back. Started training and just, you know, starts in the streets and just being dumb with your buddies, slap boxing, moving around, playing body shots, getting in trouble in school. And then eventually you kind of weed out who wants to do it, who doesn't want to do it. And 13 years later, we're still on this path. And now with these guys get a home show. So it's nice. It's pretty awesome to see my boys about to whoop some ass.
Oh, gosh. That sounds just... Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of a casual MMA fan. I usually catch like a handful of fights a year. I just hear people say, "Yeah, check out this fight." I check it out. I'm more of a wrestling fan. That's just kind of been my bio. I have all the respect in the world for MMA, and just seeing how people get into it, and just through all, I can only just think of all the types of people you've had that trained with you over the years. Was it like just discovering it off of a UFC show, or just her friends are like, "Hey, just go to the gym with me and check this out."
We had a buddy, Tony Cantrell, short little guy, stocky Hulk-looking dude, just asked me one day, "Hey, you want to take a fight?" I was like, "When?" He's like, in a couple days. I was like, "What? I've never trained, bro." Did some wrestling in, you know, in high school. I did, you know, like I said, a couple street fights growing up in a rough area. But he just told me, and I thought about Vitor, and I thought about just what it would feel like to beat somebody up and hear the crowd and just like a gladiator moment. And I was like, fuck it. Do or die, let's go. And took the fight, beat the guy up for a minute and a half, got caught in a rear naked choke, and I was like, okay, jiu-jitsu's gay, but this is tight.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you must have had just, I don't even know what was going through your mind, first fight, just like all of a sudden, just a quick crash training course. And
yeah, I didn't listen.
Yeah.
Like Dre was with us. Like they would tell me, what are you going to do if he does this? I'm going to fire on him. What are you going to do if he does that? I'm going to fire on him. What are you going to do? My whole plan was just bomb on him. You know, because in a street fight, that boom, 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 somebody goes down, you get back up, boom, boom, boom. Little did I know.
Oh, gosh. Once you get the actual training involved and all the various fight styles, it's a whole new ballgame.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It opens your eyes to real tough guys. You see tough guys, and me and my wife were just having this conversation. There's a difference from being feared and being respected. And I was actually driving and trying to put three bullet points of, like, the difference from being respected and being feared. And it's, like, admired, you know, kind of like you motivate and... I forgot the other word that I had in my mind, but then fear is like a totally different thing. And with tough guys, they rely on fear. With guys, like Dre don't got to go around acting tough, but people know he's tough, and because of that, he gets respect. So versus guys that I used to think were tough guys, now I look at them and I'm like, you think you're tough because you got a knife, you got a gun, but let's see you knuckle up, and you kind of start to realize what's real and what's not too, so...
Actual legitimate tough with no gimmicks needed.
Yep. Well, it goes back to me as a perfect example. I'm a fire on him. Then you're going to get choked out.
Yeah. Oh.
And that's okay. It's a humbling experience. And if you're willing to be humbled and willing to learn, it's like it's on the back of my son's boxing booklet. I said, if it's not a blessing, it's a lesson. So if you don't win, then it's a lesson. If you win, then it's a blessing and a lesson. So it's a state of mind. It's either the cup's half empty or half full.
There's just so many things there, just some big takeaways from that. I really like how you stated that. Just, hey, if you lost, let's see how we can learn from this, no matter how good or bad the loss was, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, Dre, let's kind of curious on your, how did you break into MMA, or how were you introduced to it?
Well, Back in the day, there was this title that I've always wanted to be, and it was the world's most dangerous man, and that was held by Ken Shamrock at the time. So he was one of my favorite people watching wrestle, fight, the whole nine yards. Never thought I'd get into the MMA thing, but we had that mutual friend. I was working at, I think it was IHOP at the time, and they just asked me if I wanted to fight. Hey, you look like you can fight. You're from Chicago, right? And of course, been in a couple of street fights, nothing like major. I took the fight, our training, and if he remembers, we were like in the base, like in the lobby of an apartment building at first, just carpet burn, trying to wrestle, learn how to do some stuff here and there. I took the fight anyways, a wrestler. I was 32, my first fight, so because I'm pretty much up there. And dude was like, all-American wrestler, blah, 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 stand up, you know, I held my own. Then he started wrestling me, and even though I wrestled in high school for like a year, like nothing compared to what this kid was doing. And then I woke up outside outside of the cage pretty pissed off, like, what just happened? You know, I still gave the kid his respect or whatnot, but that just motivated me to start jiu-jitsu, which some people don't like, but the ground game is very important, you know, and then it just made me strive to be better at that. It just pissed me off, so I wanted to be better so I can beat wrestlers, and it just seems I always seem to lose to wrestlers or something like that. So then my mindset went from being known as the world's most dangerous man to just being classified as world-class something. So that was kind of, it's still kind of in my mind. I want to be a world-class striker, world-class wrestler, jiu-jitsu, whatever it could be. But that's something that I kind of strive for, to have that momentum, you know what I mean? Or that podium to sit on and be like, yeah, that's me. That's something I did.
You're world-class handsome.
World-class handsome.
It's universal.
Gosh, it's interesting you bring that up about, you know, coming up, building up the reputation and having, it's, you never know how the nicknames will stick. It could be an announcer, just throwing out a line, not even trying to make a nickname or a catchphrase, or I remember, you know, just a dumb wrestling example. I know Brock Lesnar, he ran with it for several years in the middle of just a WrestleMania match. He was just for a while in that phase where he was just throwing out nothing but suplexes, and he just yelled Roman Reigns, Suplex City, and all of a sudden he had t-shirts for years because of it.
Yeah.
So it's do you ever just have any idea where it's like, oh man, how is this catchphrase or this nickname or just moniker you're working up for, how is that gonna come up in like a pre-fight interview, or you may just blurt out something in the middle of a fight maybe?
Well, what happened is Drady actually ended up being my nickname, or if you want a fight name, stage name. Back in the day, I was with Cyrus Fees. He's a popular announcer for Bare Knuckle, done a couple of stuff, but he was at one of my first fights, and he'd always ask, like, do you got a stage name, a nickname? I'm like, no. He's like, it's okay. It's better to let the fans, you know, do it for you. Well, like 7-8 years later, I finally have a name, and it's just something that everyone's already been calling me. So everybody asks, like, yo, how's today, blah, blah, blah. And my reply is normally, it's just another Dre Day, you know. So it's just another good day. I'm a very upbeat, positive person, and that's starting to come through in my fights. So everyone just starts using Dre Day as my fight name. So that's where that comes from. But I would like to be known as, you know, world-class striker Dre Day or something.
Hey, there you go. You know, make a little mashup.
Handsome Dre Day.
It's way too long to remember. Come on. Yeah, some of us aren't as smart.
Make a little mashup of it. Or I remember, you know, Apollo Creed in the Rocky movies, they had him go through his whole roster of like 6 or 7 nicknames.
Rocky IV. He looked at him and goes, you think you have enough names? He's like, no.
Nope. Not enough. Yeah. Not enough. Yeah. Ben Wicks, how about for yourself? What was the catalyst for you breaking into the world of MMA?
I've always been an independent athlete, and with that being said, I wrestled pretty much my entire life. I wouldn't say I was like a state champion wrestler. I wrestled in North Dakota for a while, went to the Junior Olympics with Team North Dakota, but then my parents moved to East Grand Forks, and when I got back from that, like I literally got back, I didn't live where I lived. So then I got introduced to Section 8 AA Minnesota Wrestling, and I didn't even go to state. I took third in sections my senior year. I had like 3 losses, and I just, it's just a competition that I never expected. from there, I joined the military. I did submission wrestling, about submission grappling, about 3 years in. And we never really had MMA yet, so this is in 1999-2000. But like both these gentlemen said, especially Vic, I was wrestling, and I'd be wrestling guys in my battalion, and they'd be submitting me with guillotines and rear naked chokes, and I'm a wrestler, I'm taking them down, I'm like, and we don't do strikes, so I'm just like, you know, like, next thing you know, I get out of the Marine Corps, my little sister, Georgie, she's training with Butch Eichek. He had some shows coming up. He was just starting out his KO Productions, and wanted to know if I wanted to fight this weekend for Catfish Days. My sister said, would you be interested in that? Well, she said it a different way. She's much like me. I said, yeah, let's do it. I actually fought for Butch, got rained out on Saturday, so we had a show on Sunday. I ended up fighting one of Tat Romero's guys and beat him with a second left in a wet canvas ring. A rear naked choke. Out of all things. So from there, I got hooked, started fighting for Butch, fought a bunch of fights for Butch, never lost until I fought Mr. Leo Kuntz, who was in the UFC later. He put me in that guillotine, and then I was hooked, man. I just kept on fighting 4 or 5 times a year.
A new passion was born.
What else do you do? You're out of the Marine Corps. You can't do that for a living anymore, right? I mean, raise your hand if you can be in the military for a living. So I kind of wanted to keep my spot, my fire going, and my that, like, kind of like these were saying, like these guys were saying, I just wanted to keep a passion. The only passion I had was competing, so I just basically teamed up with a couple guys and Star Roberts, Travis McCullough, shout out. We just started the North Dakota Bad Boys, and we went around and we fought everybody and anybody from any level to the level that we got matched up with. Obviously, not the UFC, and ran into these gentlemen about 2019, and it's been like that ever since.
Have all three of you been kind of like training, sparring partners for when it comes to building up towards fights, or do you guys just kind of just like work out for just kind of general MMA training mostly with each other there, or have like training camps?
I'm just the walking punching bag.
Walking punching bag?
You know, these guys train and they do the sparring and all that, but Dre will beat me up. Roman is one of our pro boxers. He beats me up, and yeah, I'm just there to get beat up and throw out numbers.
He throws out great combination and training combos back in the day.
Absolutely.
Back in the day, he used to do the most killer camps for us, and I miss those. Those were the best. So Victor has been a great influence in a lot of things that I do, and a driving matter in a lot of things that I do fight-wise anyway. So
I just want to say one thing here. I got a couple coaches that help me with Victor. They're connected to the gym. And I'm gonna throw his name out there because I think he deserves this. I was talking to Mike Lean on Saturday. We went with Butch and Coach Mike to go wrestle with some guys out of town. I got back and he was talking about how killer Vic was back in the day. And he said, "I'll tell you what, I would have sparred. My sparring was on point back then." Mike said, "He said it was as good as it was gonna get for him." And he's by no means a competitive boxer or MMA fighter, but he said, "I would never fight Vic in a ring." He said, "And Vic's our head coach. I mean, he took his dreams, put them aside, and he's helping us and all the kids get ready for all of our fights, and there's a lot of shit going on there."
Wow.
And he said, but my coach, my coach Mike said that, yeah, if anybody, I would not spar Coach Vic. I've never sparred him, so I don't know.
I've got to witness him fight. This guy's an animal.
I believe
it. There's been times I've been, like, not wanting to continue in the middle of a fight, and then I'm like, no, Vic would think I'm a bitch. I just better man up and just do this.
I'm getting nervous because of that too.
Oh wow!
I'll be fighting under his banner for the first time, legitimately.
Wow!
And I'm as a Combat Cardio Club member fighter, because my last fight was 6 years ago, and I'm going to be very nervous to fight under him and my coach Butch.
I have a follow-up for you on that, Vic, but before I do, I know Paul is wanting to jump in here or something.
Yeah, hopefully I don't get ahead of your questions here, because I got, well, two questions. First one is, who do you think is the best UFC fighter that has been out? I will tell you mine right now. I would say St. Pierre, but I'm going to go with Ken Shamrock because he wouldn't bare-knuckled. Okay. Now, secondly, who are your opponents, and what do you think their strengths and weaknesses are?
All right, who would like to start?
I'll go ahead. You can go ahead, actually. Let's do this.
That's good.
So that was favorite UFC fighter ever? Paul was first one? Or
favorite. Who do you think was the best?
Okay. Who do you think was the best? Okay, gotcha.
I'm going to say my favorite fighter is GSP. It's kind of ironic that you said GSP. Ken Shamrock, GSP is my favorite fighter. He has the same birthday as me. I mean, I know a lot about GSP. He's been down to Fargo before. I haven't trained with him or anything, but I had a buddy that was on the Ultimate Fighter, or an acquaintance that I trained with in the past that was on his team for the Ultimate Fighter. And he's awesome. And as far as, what was the second question, Paul?
Who's your opponent and what is their strengths and weaknesses?
I didn't want to even say my opponent's name because I don't feel like he deserves it. But I'm fighting Casey Gajewski. I don't know what his strengths are at heavyweight. I know that he had a decent right hand at 155 10 years ago. And now he's fighting the big boys. And I know that he's a jiu-jitsu-based fighter. He trains out of Progressive Martial Arts, which is a great place to go train if you want to do jiu-jitsu. I also know that he's got a wrestling background. I'll keep it at that. And like I said, at 225 pounds, which is the contracted weight for us at cruiserweight, I don't really know any more of his strengths. The fact that we're going to fight, well, I guess we're going to find out.
Yeah, so, May 18th at the Alaris Center. Once again, alariscenter.com/MMA to get those tickets.
F around and find out.
Yeah. Dre, same question to you.
If I were to say statistically, Mighty Mouse is probably the greatest fighter ever. That guy is still fighting. He's held down the division. He walks around at like 136 and fights 135, so he's not cutting weight. Still, he's in one, even though they released him for Ben, which not you, Ben. I forgot the other guy's name.
Ben Askren.
Yeah, there you go. They released him for it. That was a horrible trade. As far as favorites go, I was always a BJ Penn fan, always a Ken Shamrock fan, and GSP in his weight class is the better welterweight to ever walk around at welterweight, in my opinion, of course. As far as my opponent, I don't know his. I can't. It's Lee Gondit or something like that. I don't want to butcher his name. He's out of Canada, out of Winnipeg. What I know of his strengths is he's a ground guy. So he competes at Combat Jiu-Jitsu World Tournaments. So all of his wins are via submission. All of his losses are via strikes. And I'm a striker. I did at one point think my ground game was my better game, so I stopped like perfecting it and trying to perfect my striking. And I think in that process, I kind of overlapped my ground game. But his weakness is just going to be me in front of him. Not only my handsomeness is going to shock him, but you know, when you're in front of such beauty, you know, you got to stand in awe. And while his jaw's dropped, I'm going to snap it off.
Hell yeah.
He'll be stunned into leaving himself open.
Oh, just another Dre day.
Yeah, just another Dre day.
Now, Vic, you're coaching, so won't be fighting. But who do you think is the best MMA fighter?
I'd have to agree with Dre, Mighty Mouse. One, just because of his technique, it's flawless. I mean, the guy, lost twice, once to Dominic Cruz at the beginning, then once to Henry, but then also was willing to fight people in their domain. When he fought Rod Tang, which is one of the greatest Muay Thai fighters ever, first guy to do it, first round Muay Thai, second round MMA, third round Muay Thai, kind of had to move and shook and jive to stay alive for the first round, but second round came, he got Rod Tang, took him out, and then he just recently did a grappling competition with a 64-pound man.
Absolutely.
He's walking around at a buck 42 and actually won by choke. Wow. So he's been able to go to multiple other arenas and be successful with the people that are the best at their craft. And even in the jiu-jitsu, he even took it a step further, went with the brown belt who had 100 pounds on him and still beat him. For that reason, I got to give it to him.
That says measures. Measures about him. Wow. Oh, go ahead, Paul.
Okay, so here's my question, because obviously Mighty Mouse is very skilled. but you put him in a bare knuckle UFC fight with Ken Shamrock, who do you think's walking out of that?
Is Ken still old? Like nowadays, Ken?
No, like UFC day.
Crazy Ken?
Yeah.
I'm still going to say Mighty Mouse. Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
He's got one of the most amazing like submissions ever. He suplexed the guy before the guy got out of the air.
Had him in armbar.
Yeah. Transitioned to an armbar. Yeah. So as soon as the guy's back hit the floor, he was in an armbar. It was the greatest submission ever seen, or I think it was the greatest submission ever done.
There's a lot of different pressures and adversities that people face in a fight, without getting into detail. I think he deals them very well, but I also think that I'm a bigger guy. I'm not going to be like I don't want to say little, but the smaller gentleman and go for the small guy, and that's not what your guys are doing. Ken Shamrock is a bad example, and I'm not trying to put you down on that. There's a couple other guys that would definitely beat DJ back in the day at a heavier weight class advantage. There is, but we don't got enough time.
Boss Rutan kills everybody.
Absolutely. Demetrius Johnson is by far, like I said, I didn't even remember until he told me about the suplex transition armbar. And the guy was like almost, I think he was tapping before he's even done the ground.
Yeah, it was so beautiful and smooth. Everything about it was beautiful.
I gotta say, I
totally forgot about Butterbean.
Oh, Butterbean.
As long as you don't get in the way of that bomb, you're good.
Him and Mike Tyson would be a good fight. I mean, and I'm talking.
I don't think so.
In the prime.
Anything against Mike Tyson's a bad fight.
Who do you got, Tyson or Jake Paul?
Oh, gosh. That's going to be quite the attraction fight on Netflix.
The business aspect, I'm sure Jake Paul is going to get a draw somehow. But only if Mike Tyson is enough.
How many rounds? Did they say how many rounds that was going to be?
There's so many stipulations.
Yeah. They said it was going to be 8. They said headgear were going to be on. It changes all the time. The exhibition. So if you're in an exhibition boxing match, I do know on the pro level, there's no scorecards. Okay, so basically they say, and this is promotion, of course. They got to promote this. Mm-hmm. They have to. If there's no scorecards, then it's going to be like, well, now there's talk. Well, he's got to knock them out because there's no judges. I am going to watch it. I'm not going to lie about it. I have my group of friends. We got the gym. We're going to watch it. At some point, we're all going to watch it live. And I think it's a bunch of BS. I think these guys are buddies. I think these guys literally are just trying to do the best they can to promote the fight. Mm-hmm. The legacy is never going to get tainted. Don't ever say that. I don't want anybody saying a legacy. Mike Tyson has a legacy. You can't lose that legacy.
No, not at all.
So don't let anybody ever tell you his legacy if he loses or wins. He's 59 years old. He's fighting a guy that's an athlete. I don't care if he's on Disney Channel or not. He's an athlete.
Definitely.
So, I mean, and I really don't know who's going to win. Let's go get some lottery tickets, guys, and let's go see a win because that's about the same chances.
Mike Tyson himself has even said he likes Jake Paul.
Absolutely.
But he's had enough of his boxing antics, and he wants to retire him and let him go do the WWE thing with his brother, which I think is beautiful.
So. Logan's doing a pretty dang good job in WWE, and yeah.
They're promoting the show very well.
Yeah.
That's
definitely.
You know.
Yeah.
Did you just say that Paul just punked out and they're using headgear?
Yeah. I've even heard they're supposed to do a tag team with his brother.
What tag team match?
It wasn't Paul's decision. I'll tell you that much. And I don't know anything any more than we know. I know that with the rules being set, if the commission, where do they find it, Florida?
Or, I have no idea.
So the athletic commission, they have certain stipulations in certain states. They're all different. With the age of Tyson, that they might actually have him put an exhibition bout with headgear on. That could be either one of their decisions or it could be the commission. So just keep that in mind. It doesn't mean – I'm sure Paul probably doesn't want to wear headgear. He's crazy.
I would.
I get it, but there's just crazy people out there. I think that there's a deal, and I think everybody knows but us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, well, it sounds like things are changing by the day on this thing. Who knows where they'll be when it comes fight time.
And it gets sickening.
Gosh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I think that's still about a month out, or about?
About 5.5 weeks.
5.5 weeks? Yeah. Okay, gosh, yeah, that's going to be quite the experience. We got so much more to come here with Vic, Dre, and Ben talking about their Throne MMA card app coming at the Alaris Center on May 18th. Tickets on sale now on alariscenter.com/MMA, or just look at the description where you're listening or watching this to get a link to go right to it. But right now, we're just going to take a quick little break, and we'll be right back after we hear these words from Smiling Moose, Rocky Mountain Deli.
If you've got an event coming up or maybe just want to treat your employees, check out Smiling Moose Rocky Mountain Deli. This is no run-of-the-mill deli either. They're a company of passionate people who work together to create craveable food and memorable service that you will not forget. The breakfasts are incredible and served all day. Box lunches and dinners, vegetarian, vegan, and gluten-free. And even last-minute events, Smiling Moose Rocky Mountain Deli uses only the freshest ingredients with chef-inspired, bold, adventurous flavors where everything is made to order. Contact them at SmilingMooseDeli.com or call 701-757-DELI or stop in at 623 South Washington with the details and let them do the rest, or they'll be sure to decide the perfect menu tailored to your needs. Smiling Moose Rocky Mountain Deli. We don't just cater your event, we cater to you.
All right, we are back with Dre Murray, Vic Ramirez, and Ben Wicks talking about the Throne MMA card at the Allaire Center May 18th. I want to dive into that there in just a little bit, but I don't. Vic, I had a question for you on the coaching perspective. How long have you been into the whole coaching dynamic when making the switch from fighter to coaching? Was it a little bit of a hard switch, or was there just a certain time where just something flipped and you're like, this is where I want to go?
Been doing the coaching thing, I'd say a good 7 years. It started with, just a couple guys who trusted me, and similar to how Dre was saying earlier, before combat cardio was a gym, it was just a workout system. It was combat cardio circuits. I'd get these guys ready for their fights. I'd mix things up, say some punching bag work mixed with some medicine ball slams mixed with this, mixed with that, just trying to basically activate everything that's going to be activated in the fight, their core, their legs, sprawling, kicking. And then eventually just grew and grew, and the vision grew. It went from just trying to train people to getting the opportunity to have my own gym. And now, which was the goal at the beginning, which was the Knucklehead Scholarship, I want to work with schools and help kids that, either come from rough backgrounds, don't got a mom or dad or whatever it is, and just give them a positive place to, train, get some self-confidence, and just learn hard work, discipline, and consistency. But I started coaching because I got – it's kind of stupid, and I really want to talk about it. But,
whatever you want to do, yeah.
I had a couple seizures. They sent me in, and they checked me out, and they said, oh, you got epilepsy. So you can – they gave me two options. You can keep fighting on the reservation, but you can't make this a career. So I'm either all in or not at all. I'm not a half-ass kind of guy. My guys know me. I lead by example. I practice what I preach. You're not going to hear me say, don't drink this, or, hey, don't do that, and expect me to, you're not going to do that. No, I'm a man of my word. So I just said, if I can't be the champ, I'm going to make them. And I've been fortunate enough to produce a couple amateur champions. Now we got baby boy getting ready to get his first pro title. So yeah, that's kind of what struck the change was, if you can't be it, make it. And that's where I'm at now.
I got to do that. That was badass. it's just, it kind of goes hand in hand with what you're saying a little bit earlier about, learning from lessons or just learning how to bounce back from the hand that you're dealt. Mm-hmm. And instead of just walking away from it entirely, you got a whole wealth of years and years of knowledge that you're imparting on your fighters and with your crew. That's got to be such a great feeling.
It is. And I explained it to these guys too. Sometimes it's the closest I'll get to taking a bite of that cake again is being able to see. It's like the bear that's sitting outside the window sniffing the pie. I'm outside watching these guys.
These guys' metaphors are off the chart. You'll do it all day.
I'm all for it.
I love it.
I can't get in there and eat myself, but I'm overjoyed watching my boys go to the buffet and go to town.
I got a tear coming right now, man.
It's like literally, I remember when he wasn't taking it serious, and I told him, you're either all fucking in or you're not, because I'm not going to be by your side if you're not, because, A, you got a family. You're not going to be coming home hurt if you don't have to. It's one thing to come home hurt. You gave it all you got. All right, fuck it. I tried. You're going to go home comfortable. But if you go in there and you half-ass train and you get your ass beat, you don't sleep well at night because you're like, damn, I should have did this. Damn, I should have did that. Boom. So, he heard me, shifted gears, and this son of a bitch is all in now. So I'm excited for him too.
And that's from a coach's perspective. That's got to be such a just powerful feeling when you see your fighters and your trainees just learn more and more and get better and better fight by fight.
Mm-hmm. No, I've been pretty lucky too, because I've put my own children, I got a daughter who competes, and a son, against really high level, tough competition. Even Juan, shout out to Juan Mercado, one of our young bucks, he's 16. He's been with me for a year. His first fight, people don't know this, but he took a fight on his first fight with a guy who had 17 fights. And because I knew what I had, I was like, okay, we'll take that fight. Because I knew that kid's style. I knew how he came in. So I knew how we could exploit certain openings. Lost by 1 point. My daughter went in there, and she fought a young lady with much more experience, a little bit of a size advantage. And those
18 pounds.
You know, wow. And not many coaches are going to put their fighters in those positions, but not many coaches are going to expect what I expect from my athletes. Again, like, they give me excuses. I'm like, okay, I'll listen, but it's going in one ear and out the other, you know?
You'll hear them out.
I'll hear them out, exactly. But I'm not going to buy the bullshit.
Right.
Because I'm a father of eight. I'm about to have another child. I work full time. I run the gym. I make sure to get my ass to the gym every morning for myself. Got to leave my, because again, not just for my athletes, but for my kids. When my kid goes to school, I want him to say, my dad's strong. My dad's this. My dad's that. He's not going to be like, my dad. So just take pride in what you do, who you are, and how you carry yourself is kind of the overall theme at our gym.
Wow. That is awesome. And
you see how he inspires so many.
Yes.
Like, wow, inspires being yes. himself, you know what I'm saying?
I'm having
I need to take a bathroom break. I'm just kidding.
I'm having so many flashbacks to the sports movies. It feels like the good, you know, the coach pep talk before the big game, you know, and you
every day. It's every day. I talked to him on the phone. I'm not going to take too much of this, but every day as a pep talk with somebody. And every other day I hear it, either it's to me or I hear who he's talking to. It's every day, this isn't bullshit, it's awesome.
And probably coming around those, you feel like you're walking way down the tunnel, you're pounding the kind of like the sports expression signs that say, go team or win this one, and
I'm afraid to let him down. To go. I'm going to say one thing before you get to the next my question. I'm afraid, like Mike Tyson said, he's afraid. I am afraid to not perform to his standard and to Coach Bush's standard, period. I'm not afraid of this guy I'm fighting at all, mm-hmm. at all. But the point is, I'm afraid of letting him down. And he can tell me when we get out of here that, don't worry about it, it doesn't matter. I'm afraid of letting him down. That's the truth.
Now, I guess speaking of the fight coming up, let's focus on the big event, the big fight card coming up for Throne MMA, May 18th at the Alaris Center. Now, Throne MMA, I see they've been around for a few years now. Had a few cards in Walker, Minnesota. I saw they had their first North Dakota card not too long ago in St. Michael, North Dakota. So, but first time coming to Grand Forks, and I've looked up the fight card on Tapology.com. We're kind of going over before the show. It seems like, you know, there's always a saying, card subject to change, but it looks like it's currently five fights on the match on the card for the night.
Those are the guaranteed ones.
I think the pro other fights, people. Or maybe not.
Or preliminary fights may be in the works.
There should be a couple of amateur fights, if I can remember.
There's actually, we have a little, fight page, a fighter's messenger page that our promoter started, and he has informed us, I'm not going to say any of the names or any of the fights that are confirmed, but there seem to be more fights on there because there's posters made up. But whatever Throne MMA has on Tap Out, mm-hmm. or whatever they have on the... I guess I can't argue with that.
Yeah, I just kind of double checked it this morning here just to make sure everything I had everything on here, but I know we kind of broke down a couple of your fights here, but Ben, I see you're fighting out the 225 pound class. This is what I had listed here with Casey going up against Casey Gajewski there. Yeah. So so
that's the main event, believe it or not.
Main event going on last, as they say.
Yeah. It's you know. A lot of guys, I think Drake probably agree with me. He fought at the main event the last show. And boy, it's a rematch. He beat him twice. Sometimes the main event sucks. I think we've had this talk with the junior fighters. You have to wait the whole time. But for me, I am done. Dre's too pretty to quit yet. So I'm trying to get cauliflower here on the other side too. So, you know. But Vanderlei Silva's got cauliflower face. So I heard that joke, by the way. I'm the main event, and I want to be the main event. I want to go like this. And my coach, I'm not going to say which coach it is, but I think my coach is telling me that when I win this fight, I'm going to silence the crowd and salute my. So I'm the main event. I'm excited.
Oh, God. And then, you know, fighting in a venue like the Alaris Center, you know, the big arena. That's got to be a huge.
It's a dream. I thought I was done. I've been coaching a Comic Card Club for 6 years with Butch, and then he bought the gym. He took over the gym, turned the gym into something phenomenal. And I've been a coach. And long story short, I started training for this fight in January. Had a hiccup. He told me to get my shit together. February, I came back. I've been training 4.5 months for this fight. And I'm going back to coaching again. But yeah, this is a dream come true. Never thought in a million years I'd be fighting at the Alaris Center as the main event. Yeah. Especially with the credentials that I have had, you know.
So. Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, speaking of fights at the main event here for Throw MMA, Dre, I see you got, you know, I got this, am I pronouncing this right? I got it as a Lee, got it? Is that about right?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah. No, I looked it up. I'm always, oh, yeah.
He's Canadian, I know
yeah.
that, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
There we go.
There
but,
go.
But, no, yeah, I was trying to looking up the background. I see a 165-pound weight class there. How long has this fight been locked in for you about?
Probably a couple of months here. The one that we just had in Devil's Lake, I actually wasn't supposed to originally fight in that one. I was going to be waiting for this May one because this May one has been in the works for like 6-7 months, you know, quite some time. Then just has a filler. He's like, hey, I need you to fill this one. So I did it, you know, got my win on that one. So I think he's had me going against this guy for quite some time. I just didn't know until maybe right after that last fight. So maybe 2 months ago, he's like, all right, I already have your guy. You know, it's going to be for a belt. He fights normally at 170. I fight at 55. So it's kind of an in-between match for me, which is fine. He's probably going to be a little bit bigger, but again, better looking, stronger, the whole nine yards. I would like to point out, I still have him in my corner, as always. I have about 23 fights under my belt. This guy has been there for 21 of those fights. So,
oh, wow.
I always got to give him his credit and his respect where it's due.
We do that. Crowd applause. Crowd applause. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Right? So that's why I'm always there. I do also, I train at the gym that his opponent fights at too. So
oh,
I kind of so hop around.
Guys cross paths a little bit.
Yes, yes. I keep the their secrets to themselves. You know, I'm not one of those secret agents running back. I'm just there
eye
to
over
get
the
better.
Corner.
Right. I'm just there to fight and train and get better at what I'm doing. So I think it's pretty ironic that I train at. If you look at the fight card, it's between these two gyms. There's also the Fargo gym, ACA, which I also train at. So I train at every single gym that's on that card fighting against. I'm kind of like the melting pot of all the gyms coming together. You know what I'm saying?
On media. Me and Casey, I said his name once, I'll say it again. We don't really talk too much shit about each other. We have a couple comments. But this guy trains with both of us, okay? He trains, he does his training with both, in both of the gyms we train at. It will be more, to be more official. And if I comment something that's a little more focused on, I'm going to beat you, or Casey post something, his days are numbered or whatever, he loves all of our comments, like hearts. Like, so, like, it's equal. And I notice it.
Switzerland on this one.
Oh.
I just want to see you guys beat the crap out of each other and then have a beer afterwards. Oh. I'm not even lying.
Oh, heck yeah.
That's
just
what I want to see.
Well, you kind of see that scene in a lot of, like, kind of movies where they have the big fight, but, you know, they kind of shake hands, have respect afterwards.
Yeah. I've done it many fights, and I don't think I'm going to do it with him, but
you never know. Well, he really got me good. I got to give him some props. Props and a six-pack, right?
I'm going to give it to him in the fight. I'm not going to have to give him a beer.
Of all the people I've matched with, I'm like social media friends with. Like,
absolutely.
Every single one of them. Wow. So I stay connected. Yep. I get better connections with them. Like, I'll get a better promotion. Hey, you know, now that we're done hating each other, maybe you should look into this promotion for fights, or, you know, better opportunities instead of closing doors. Those are opportunities. You don't lose, you learn. You know, you win right. or you learn. Either way, you're still getting a connection. And in the fight community, I've been in boxing locker rooms and MMA locker rooms, and boxers are just so shocked on how well the MMA community gets along with each other, even with their opponent, you know. The boxer's like, yeah, we don't talk. We don't do this. Like, we're just like,
no. Sean Strickland lost to Alex Pereira.
Yeah.
As soon as he lost Alex Pereira,
went to go train.
He went to train Alex Pereira. He goes, I want to know what the hell you did to knock me out. And then he eventually won the middleweight championship after Pereira lost to Izzy. That's the kind of stuff he's talking about.
Oh, they get out of hate and go into collaborate right. mode. That's awesome.
I invite them to the gyms.
I can't see Alex Breer and Sean Strickland sitting in the same room. Two different personalities. I don't know how that. You know what I mean?
Hey, Alex has a personality. I just thought it's.
I know, right? And Sean's over there probably making fun of him as he's getting knocked out. You know.
Paul, I see you're about to jump in there or something there.
Yeah, I had a question for Dre. This goes because you're in the kind of the jiu-jitsu world. Do you think that? Because, like, I'm old school UFC. I liked it when it was bare knuckle, like,
oh, yeah.
like no weight classes, just best fighter comes out. Do you think that jiu-jitsu would dominate the UFC if they were to allow headbutting?
Do you remember Gracie?
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah.
Like early.
It's already been proven. But you can't say besides.
He had a gi on, though. He had a gi on, but he...
Yeah, he got... Gracie ran through everybody, and he only weighed like 165 pounds, I think. And that's what, like you were saying, open weight. He could use his gi. There's that one dude. He grabbed dude's hair, pulled him into a submission, if you remember, start hitting him. It was a big dude.
That's right. Like those first couple years of UFC was like no rules, with like the exception of one or two things maybe. And
jiu-jitsu came on top. I mean, I think wrestlers have a better top game, better ground and pound game, yes. But if you got a really good jiu-jitsu person, they could probably sneak a submission out of there. But I would say wrestlers and boxers are the basis of every martial arts in MMA. You're not going to succeed unless you have good hands boxing, or at least a good ground, be it wrestling or jiu-jitsu. So.
Especially at the top level.
That brings me to one final question here for you.
I knew that was a setup.
He's setting me up.
So... in a self-defense situation in the real world, what do you think would be the best martial art to study? Because obviously, you know, like jiu-jitsu, a one-on-one game, you know, you can submit somebody. But if they have three buddies that are with them, then they're all kicking you in the head while you're on the ground.
Well, you're 100% right.
Yeah. So I'm just curious as to what you guys think would be the best thing for somebody practically to train in.
So the point of learning martial arts is to not fight. So the best thing would be not get in those situations, not get too drunk.
Field.
Yes.
I mean, 80% of the time, why are we getting these situations? I mean, I'm not an expert on anything, but 80% of the times, I'm going to give it a weird percentage. Why are we in these situations?
Exactly. Great.
You know, we're in these positions because we're all pounding our chest.
Right.
And that's human instinct, I believe, to a certain degree. But come to my gym. Come to Vic's gym and pound your chest, and we'll see how long that lasts. I mean,
sick Dre on you.
Sick Dre on
I would say a kickboxing, because I've seen a street fight where the guy knew how to fight versus a guy who thought he was just some street punk, and he just did leg kicks to the guy, and the guy dropped. Like, he didn't even raise his hand to him. He's like, dude, you don't want to fight me. And the guy kept trying to swing at him, so he just kept kicking his legs. Dropped him, you know?
Like, Boss Rutan was a good example.
Yeah.
Boss Rutan had an interview the other day. Long story short, it was some type of charity, and this guy wanted to start shit with him, and he goes, we're at a charity. We're not doing this. And he said, let's go outside. And Boss is 60 years old. He's like, okay. And he's a high level. He had more of a karate base, but he has Muay Thai.
Shotokan,
exactly. So he literally slaps people in the face and wins fights. And in real life, he'd demolish.
Strike. Boom, boom.
I would say, personally, so Muay Thai.
Exactly.
Just because you get to use your elbows, you learn to sweep. So if you got two or three guys coming at you, you sweep one, you sweep the other, you beat the crap out of one, you get back to one that's getting up, you sweep them. So personally, I would say the art of eight limbs, one time.
That would definitely be it.
Paul, you got your knowledge, you got your insider tips. Oh wow, I love it. Now this hour has flew by.
Looking at my phone.
I got a couple more things before we wrap up here, but I want to make sure, did we cover everything about the Alera Center throw MMA card here coming up on May 18th? Tickets once again, alaracenter.com/MMA, or just find the link in the description of this episode. Alera Center, that's gonna be huge. You guys looking forward to? I know Ben, you already touched on. You super looking forward to Alera Center. Yep. Dre's first time fighting out of the Alera Center there.
Yeah, it's not the biggest place I fought at, but for me, it's the hometown. Like I said, I've been fighting for over 10 years. This is the first time I get like hometown advantage.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even say it's an advantage, but I just can't wait to hear the crowd going. My kids are actually gonna. This is the first fight my kids are gonna watch, so I have to like. I feel like I have to like Superman up on this one so I don't get beat in front of my kids.
So are you going
to
shave then or what? You're going to look pretty.
That silver fox is here forever, baby.
Yep. And Vic, too, I can only imagine as the days get closer and closer, will the training for the last weeks leading up to these fights get more intense, or is there like a little taper period before?
Yes, sir. There's a peaking point, and then we start to just come down. It's more of just timing, relaxing, getting loose, getting the mental part of it right. But yeah, it's going to be busy, especially for me right now, just because this weekend, shout out to Roman Cruz, we'll be down in Minneapolis. He's got his third boxing bout. Take a week off. The next weekend after that, I got four amateur boxers fighting down at Cass Lake. Take 2 weeks off. It's time to party, baby.
Go, go, go.
Yep. And then I love all you guys, but even better, July, I got a son who lives in Vegas. He comes home for the summer, so
I get
to be with baby boy.
There you go. Yeah, heck yeah. Us. Crowd claps indeed. I guess now, before we get to a last question to wrap up with, always like, no, I imagine you got to have sponsors and crew or shout-outs to give to before going to the fights here to make it all possible. Sure. Why don't you guys just go around the table. Sponsors, shout-outs.
Yeah, I got some shout-outs just for the gym, for me. There's a couple involved. Barefoot Flooring takes care of us really well. Shout-out to Christy and the guys out there. M&H. M&H is a big sponsor for me. Shout-out to Nick and the guys. Thriller Excursion. Skyler runs a great a bus company out there. They'll be at the fights. If you want to ride around town after party, get a hold of Skyler, Thriller Excursions. Signature Graphics with Matt. KO Masonry. My coach Butch, he runs that. Division 17. Matt and Brian run a great electrical company over there. Delacruz Unlimited. Golden Rule Auto. And shout out to you guys. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah,
thank you for having us on.
Thanks for coming on. Take some time with us. You're always glad to just support. It seemed like there was a while there where like a little stretch where I remember Butch, some of his promotions, you can almost have a few local fights each year, whether it be boxing or MMA or like a combination. And that seemed like we had a little drought there for a few years. But now it seems like it's coming back these last couple of years.
Grand Forks used to be a huge fight town. Like a fight city. Like everybody supported boxers. Mm-hmm. Now we just got to get them to hop over to the MMA aspect. And he's covered a lot of the people. I'm just going to cover some of the gyms. Of course, my combat cardio, Victor. Progressive Martial Arts, where his opponent trains.
Hey, Ken's a good dude. I love those guys over there.
Yeah, they have great coaches there.
Absolutely.
And then I also do Hudson. If you know Hudson, they're actually my sponsors. So I do a lot of hot yoga. They have an ice bath there. They have a lot of good stuff there to help with my recovery. For being, you know, an old brittle man.
Hey, I do yoga myself. I don't do hot yoga. I do DDP yoga.
Do you know that me and Dre are the? Do you know that me and Dre are 5 years? Me and Dre. I'm not going to say my age because I don't. Me and Dre are about 8 days apart in age.
Wow. He stalks me like that.
Isn't that crazy? I got five real teeth. Anyways.
Oh gosh. Do we have any other sponsors or shout outs there for you, Dre?
Anybody else? I'm good.
Vic, shout out sponsors.
I just want to say thank you to anybody who trains at the gym. Anybody that knows how I run the gym, there's no contracts, no bullshit. You're there either you like it or you don't. Just want to say thank you to the parents who trust me with their kids to try to be a small part of their life, to give them some confidence and hopefully a little bit of guidance. Thank you to my wife for always holding me down. And thank you to my team for allowing me to live vicariously through them and also better my craft in the process of helping them better theirs.
And then finally, if people want to keep up with you as you for future fights or just social media, do you guys got like a social media you'd like to plug for our best way to keep up with you and just your fighting career?
My Instagram is Drayday_Ali. You can find, I post a lot of BS on a lot of stuff, a lot of memes and stuff. So I won't give them my Facebook one. I don't know if they can handle that yet as fans, but
hey,
when
well,
they graduate,
works best.
Then they can get that one.
Really quickly, because I gotta give you props because you make me laugh every day with your posts. But what's your OnlyFans?
I'll send you the link later.
I gotta give one more shout out, and it wasn't because of Victor. I don't have it written down because I was shout out to my beautiful wife Angie Wicks. If it wasn't for her, I would not be fighting. I told her I wasn't going to fight after I injured myself last fight in 17. If it wasn't for my wife, I would not be fighting. I thank her for allowing me to see if Victor would let me fight.
Oh, wow. Gosh, yeah. Again, crowd clap. Got to have the family support. Big time. Ben, Vic, best way for people if they want to find out more about your gym or your to keep up with you on social media, best place to do so?
Just come check us out, 2121 Dyke Avenue, or just Combat Cardio Club on Facebook.
All right.
Very simple.
There you go. Ben, huh? Any other like social media plugs or anything like that before you wrap up here?
No. Just thank you all for having us on here.
Yeah, greatly.
I've known Paul for a long time in my brain. I have a short-term memory. So thank you for having me on, Paul. And we'll be seeing you guys hopefully at the fights as well.
Oh, yeah. You know it. We'll be there. So, hey. Vic, Dre, Ben, thank you guys so much for coming on. This has been awesome. I've learned a ton. I'm very, very base level when it comes to MMA knowledge, and this has been a great 101, and so much more beyond too. But best of luck to all of you. May 18th at the Alaris Center. Check it out. Throne MMA. Tickets are available online at the Alaris, alariscenter.com/MMA, or just go right to the Alaris Center box office, and you could get your tickets that way too. So we'll wrap things up for today. We want to make sure to give a shout out to CNH Insurance, where they began with the goal of building an agency with the highest of principles, personalized attention, and service. They strive to give everyone who walks through their door special attention and the best customer service possible. This is their priority. Their agents have over 50 years of combined insurance experience, and they're licensed in North Dakota, Minnesota, and Arizona. So for all of your insurance needs, contact Justin, Jody, or Tammy. Give them a call, 218-773-0287, or stop by their offices located at 1427 Central Avenue Northwest in East Grand Forks. Hey, we here at GFBS insure through CNH Insurance. You should, too. All right. Well, coming up later today, it's Friday, so Icky Ichabod's Weird Cinema will be on tonight. I believe he is reviewing Poltergeist 2, that 1986 horror classic, so do not miss it. Once again, want to give a big shout out to Vic, Ben, and Dre for joining us today. Take some time, and good luck to them at the fights. Many thanks to producer Paul in the booth. Remember to like, share, tag, subscribe, follow GFBS on all the social media and podcast apps, and remember to pound that notification bell to receive the alerts for whenever we go live. Remember, the Grand Cities are a sublime place. Grand Forks' best source is giving them an identity again.